And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America live from our Clare Court set at Saratoga on Alabama Day. Looking forward to a great day of racing again here at Saratoga, capped by that featured Grade 1, the Alabama, this afternoon. Really great card to look forward to. We'll talk about that this morning with some of the players. We're going to replay the Dallas Stewart interview from yesterday because, again, yesterday there's some technical difficulties, and so I think we didn't kind of get into that until about halfway yesterday. But he has Will Secret in the Alabama today, so I wanted to make sure people saw the Dallas interview. That'll come up towards the end of the program. Also, yesterday we went back and taped an interview with Robin Brittany Atris and talked a little bit about Maracuja and more with them. That'll be coming up a little bit later in the show. But live on set to kick things off, it's our friend Tom Durkin. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about what you're up to these days and reflect a little bit on the past and whatnot. And why don't we start right out? Because when you sat down, you said, and we were over at the museum a couple of weeks ago doing kind of a museum piece, saw the new movie. I highly recommend going to the refurbished museum. If you haven't been over in a while, go over. The new movie is fabulous. The updated plaques, which are digital now and can keep up with people's careers, and is a great idea, worth going over. But you do tours now every racing day. You said no tours today,
but
give us the update on if people want to come over and maybe make a day of it, a little breakfast, then go over to the museum.
Absolutely. You have to get a reservation, so call up the museum and say, you know, I've got five people coming on Tuesday or Wednesday, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so that's how you get on.
And you pop off at 11 a.m. every day? Is
that 11 o'clock. Tour takes about an hour, and then we wind up in the Hall of Fame, the new Hall of Fame. And I got to tell you, I mean, it is fantastic. You know, and you were talking about the plaques. So you can be a jockey and get in the Hall of Fame after 15 years of riding. So that plaque, that's it. That you get your plaque, and that's it for eternity. Yeah. Jerry Bailey's plaque never mentioned cigar or the five Eclipse Awards he won. But now, because it's all digital, you know, here's what Jerry Bailey had for breakfast yesterday, you know.
I like that. So again, you can go over to the museum, and if you folks aren't familiar, it is literally right across the street from the racetrack. So again, plan someday, come up, grab a little breakfast, go over for the tour, and come back in the afternoon and enjoy.
Yeah, you're out of there by 12:30, and we scheduled it so you can get to the track and make the double.
Perfect. So again, keep that in mind for a Saratoga visit throughout the Saratoga racing season. Pulled up some video last night, went to YouTube and pulled up some video. I just want to get your thoughts now that there's been a little time to reflect, and it was your last day at the track. I pulled up a little video of you addressing the crowd and then hopping on the back of the truck and firing T-shirts out into the crowd. Just remember the last day and the fabulous race call, the spin away, splash-tastic. And
yeah, well, what this is the...
And as I say, you hop into the back of the truck, and we have the T-shirt cannon. And the crowd, the crowd was just fabulous that day, too, as they kind of wished you a happy retirement.
And funny, on the people that were running, and they were great. Chris Gay was terrific to me that day, and everybody was just so great. And they said, okay, we're going to have you ride off. And I said, okay, here's what I'll do, how about if I toss T-shirts to everybody from the back of a truck? Oh, okay, good, you know. And then they wanted, they said, we got the music, we're going to play I've Had the Time of My Life. And I went, you know, I don't think so. That's not really me. So I had him play the last movement of Mozart's last symphony, the Jupiter Symphony, which is, you know, a farewell of sorts.
Yeah, and as they say, that last call was great too, the Splashtastic. And
it was funny because I kept this book of different things to say for all, and I kept on adding stuff to that book, right? And I would date the stuff the day I put it in, and I kept on doing that until the day I retired. And I had a couple words in there for if a horse did really good on a sloppy track. And so one of them was Splashtastic. I still had that one left. But when I used one, I kind of didn't want to use it too much. Yeah. So the one before that was Mudnificent.
I like that one too.
I used it a couple weeks before. Yeah. So I got those two in before I called it a day.
Reflect a little bit on the beginning of your career. We've had you in before. Do I remember the story correctly? It might have been a fair, and your announcer's booth was standing on a flatbed truck. Is that?
Oh, it was mostly on the back. Well, yeah, at those little county fairs in Wisconsin. Yeah. About half the time, they might have had a judge's stand, you know, at the finish line. But frequently, yeah, back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah. What pulled you in? What made you want to be a track announcer?
We had a great track announcer in Chicago, Phil George, very exciting guy. Fairly young in life, I decided that being a jockey was not probably going to be for me. And then I thought, okay, well, being a priest, it was a big thing in our neighborhood if you were a priest. And then I realized that was not going to be in my lifestyles. But I used to do an imitation of Phil Georgeff, the announcer there, and it became a thing. And then I just said, I'd love to be Phil Georgeff someday.
Reading some bio material last night, too, it mentioned the number of tracks and the number of countries, and I had it written down before, but it was an amazing number of countries and a number of tracks that you've mm-hmm. announced at some of those visits.
Yeah, oh God, many, many tracks. When I first started out, I worked, you know, typically a 2 or 3 month meeting and go on to the next place and go on to the next place. I think I lived in, I think at one time I was keeping track, the first 6 years I lived in 29 different addresses. You know, so it was a pretty peripatetic lifestyle. And, I called the races in the Irish Derby. I called maybe 10 times. I called a race or two in England. I called a race in Barbados. I called the Arc de Triomphe in France a few times, in English. And where else? Austria, Austrian Derby one time. So that was fun. You know, you got to fly, and they usually put you in the front of the bus, too. Yeah, so that was good.
Talk about when we've had you on before, we've talked about some of the venues that maybe were a little more difficult. And I guess Saratoga with the trees can present some problems, too.
Saratoga is really hard. The world's worst announcer's booth. I wouldn't trade it for anything, but, I mean, it was a pure afterthought. I mean, that track had been standing there for 90 years before there was ever such a thing as a public address system. So they squeezed in this little tiny place out of a little triangle out of the judges' stand up there and was built for Fred Capicella, who came up to my knees. But the trees, you're very low. And when I'm at Belmont Park, I was 94 feet in the air. And that's great. You can see over the horses. If there's a horse on the inside, you can still see the horse on the outside because you're so high. Saratoga, you're only 30-some feet in the air, and it makes it very difficult. The trees were the bane of my existence. I had a big column right here. So when the horses went into the clubhouse turn, I did this, and I just a little, and it was gutter pipes and all sorts of stuff, and reflection on the glass, and the nice thing about it was air conditioned. And there were very few air conditioned places. So on these really hot, steamy days, people figured out, let's go up to Tom's place. It's air conditioned. So I really don't, you know, I love people, but I don't want them in the room when I'm calling races. Yeah. I just, you know, it's not doable for me. So I had there was a security guard out there, and I told him, you know, when anybody wants to come in, come on in and tell me who it is, and I'll tell you. So on those days it was really hot, Joe would come in and say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. John Doe are out there. I go, okay, Joe, give me 10 minutes. I turn off the air conditioning, take out all the chairs, close the one door that was there, and that's up on the roof. And in 10 minutes, it got nice and steamy. So then they come in, very uncomfortable, and they go, Tom, why don't you, that's an air conditioner, why don't you turn it on? I go, oh, it's my voice. My voice.
That's the way to work.
Yeah, and they'd pull the chairs out, and they got nowhere to sit, and they lasted a few minutes. And
did you, as time went on, did you upgrade your technology? Because eventually there was image stabilization, binoculars and whatnot.
Yes. I really needed, here's the thing about binoculars. The smaller the magnification, that's the first number in the binoculars, okay? So if you have 7x35 binoculars, 7 is the magnification, 35 is the size in millimeters of the lens. That's the amount of light that's let in. So when I got to Belmont Park, I really needed 15 power binoculars. But the problem with that is if you move your hands just a little bit, that, you know, that vision, the picture in your binoculars is going all over the place. So I saw Bob Dylan playing his guitar, and he had this yoke that he built around his neck so he could play the harmonica at the same time. I said, well, why don't I build something like that and put my binoculars on top of that to steady him, and especially for big races, because your heart's going boom, 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 and your breath is going, and the image can get all over the place. So that stabilized it quite a bit. And then in time, probably around the year 2000 maybe, they had these binoculars. Minolta came out with them that are image stabilized, like a gyroscope in there. It's done with batteries, and you know, you can go like this, and it's, the image is not going to shake. The problem with the bigger the image multiplication, the more.
Yeah, any little, being a TV guy, I when I own my own company, I look through the lens of the camera and I can relate to that because
absolutely,
the slightest movement when you're zoomed in makes a huge difference. And also looking at videos of you at work online, you also had, I'm assuming this was a handmade item as well, where you had your program kind of set.
You can make anything out of three products, okay?
I'm guessing duct tape is one of them.
Duct tape, absolutely. You can send a man to the moon with duct tape. The other product is the cardboard that you get in the back of your shirts from the cleaners. And the other is a clothes hanger. So from those three things, I was able to fashion this thing. And without holding my, I used to hold my program here. You don't want to look at it, but sometimes you just forget a horse's name. So I had it in my hand and it would go like this. But I put that by the yoke, which had now been replaced by the stabilized blockers, and then I just clipped it on, and if I needed to look down, I could just look down without moving my hands at all.
Yeah, as I say, if folks look at it on YouTube and pull them up, you can see all the
Yeah, they actually have that in the, it's called the Walk of Fame? So they got a little display of my, actually the Splashtastic race with the whole deal. Yeah. And the binoculars, which I hope to get back someday. I remember.
What was the process, and over the years, did it become easier to put the previous race out of your mind and get the horses and the silks for this race into your mind?
Yeah, I tell this to people, it's easier to remember something than it is to forget something. And that doesn't make sense. Yeah. Well, you know what your birthday is, right?
Absolutely.
You really know that,
right?
Now forget it.
Yeah.
So the problem with the races is that you memorize the colors with the jockey silks, and then the next race, those same colors mean another name. So by the time the 10th race, I could memorize for the first race, I can do it in a minute and a half, not a problem. But you just get mental fatigue, and your mental acuity isn't what it is, especially, you know, drinking whiskey all afternoon up there. And by the time the 10th race comes around, you're really mentally fatigued.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. Talk a little bit about what you're up to these days. You're wearing the West Point shirt. I know you're involved with them
at
the museum. You're doing the tours. And I'm going to pull up a little bit of a replay here, and we have a picture of the winner's circle as well, going back to the Kentucky Derby 2017. West Point was in with number 5, Always Dreaming, and I know that was a fun afternoon for you and the West Point folks. So talk a little bit about being involved with West Point, and particularly winding up in the winner's circle. I think we have the shot of that after we see the race, winding up in the winner's circle.
Well, you remember the beginning of the race? There was a horse called Thunder Snow, okay? There was the horse that ran like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm watching the race from the tunnel okay, at the finish line. And this horse, he's running, he's a madman, and I don't know what's going on, and everybody's, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. And he comes through the tunnel, okay, and he pins me up against the wall, and his eyes are like this, and his teeth are like this, and he's just, you know, because there's 100,000 people screaming at him, he's flopping up and down. There I am in the background with the white hat on, which I ruined that day, by the way. And he pinned me up against the wall, and I'm like, and I'm scared to death of horses to begin with. But they pulled him out, and he finally goes back, and I go, oh my God. So I'm standing there with my friend, and the race is like now halfway over, and they're coming, they're almost at the top of the stretch. And I go, where's Always Dreaming? She goes, he's in front. Come on, it was unbelievable.
And again, in the winner's circle, that had to be just a great memory. Again, being involved with the West Point folks who had a piece of that and wind up in the Kentucky Derby winner's circle.
Yeah, and after the race is over, that was the first time I ever went to the Derby that I wasn't working for NBC. You know, so I forgot to make, you know, plans to get to and from. So I'm going to take a cab. So I'm look pretty rumpled there. My hat, I'm full of mud from my, you know, knees down. I go stand in line for the taxi cab, and there's 200 people in line. So these girls are in front of me, so I'm trying to make a conversation. And I go, you know, is this the first time you're here? No, I've been here. I've been on the Derby like 30 times. Really? You come on? I said, well, yeah, I actually used to be the guy that called the Kentucky Derby. And they look at this guy standing in the cab line. He's full of mud. And they go, yeah, okay. So a half hour goes by. Then I, you know, strike up another conversation, and I go, you know, did you girls have the winner at all? And he goes, no, we didn't bet. How about you? I said, had the winner. I'm part of the, I'm an owner. And they go, oh, this guy is so delusional.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And then that dinner that night, you know, they were all like, oh, we were standing next to this guy. Claiming,
oh, this guy was so crazy.
Very good. I'm going to, as we go to the break, I'm going to play a race call after we say goodbye. But and the race call I'm going to play is one of my favorites, one of my best racetrack memories. It's Rachel in the Woodward there, which is fabulous. And we'll play that going out. But before we let you go, I'm curious, do you have a favorite race call?
Not in particular. I mean, I just had the opportunity to call, I mean, from the first 23 Breeders' Cups.
Yeah.
I mean, that gives you a lot. I mean, and working at NYRA for 23 years, I mean, I called virtually, I was able then to have the opportunity to call virtually every good horse in that period, with the exception of Zenyatta. I never called one of her races. But, you just try to stay true to the event, and, you know, as long as you do that, you'll be fine.
As I say, we'll play the Rachel Woodward, but could you literally feel it up in the booth?
Absolutely. A little science lesson here. So sound is a result of molecules in the air that come from a vibration. So the lighter the vibration, okay, the lighter the sound. So when in a bass drum, bang, it's vibrating all over. That's sending all of these molecules through the air, which are caught by these little hair-like follicles in your ear, and it's translated into sound. So you have to imagine the pressure, okay, of 50,000 people roaring at the top of their lungs. All of those air molecules are being slammed into the columns of the racetrack and the rafters. And I never planned on saying raises the rafters. It was totally off the top of my head because my booth was literally shaking.
Yeah, as I say, it's one of my favorite memories. She gets pushed early, gets pushed late, and as we go to the break, we'll play that stretch run from the Woodward back in 2009 and Rachel Alexander. But Tom, we appreciate the visit. Always fun to have you here. And as a show of appreciation from Capital OTB and Jacob and Anthony's, have dinner on us, Tom and Jacob and Anthony's.
Free food, baby.
And we appreciate your stopping by. Tom, thanks again.
Great. Thank you, Seth. Thanks for that, too.
Appreciate it. Tom Durkin. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, it will be our visit with Rob and Brittany Attris. Stay tuned for all of that as Racing Across America continues.
It is still the filly in front. A dramatic stretch drive awaits in the Woodward Stakes
On the outside, here's Bulls Bay and Calvin Morrell imploring his filly for more. And Rachel Alexandra holds on to the lead. Bulls Bay is second. Macho again is making a tremendous run for the back of the pack. Rachel Alexandra, Macho again. They're coming down to the finish. It's going to be desperately close. Here's the wire. Rachel won. She is indeed Rachel Alexandra the Great, beating Macho again here. And farther back, Bulls Bay was third. The time was 1:48:01. Rachel Alexandra raises the rafters here at the Spa.
Promotional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Always fun to talk to our friend Tom Durkin. Now up, it's Rob and Brittany Attris. Again, they're located in one of the barns on Clare Court right behind us. Rob, of course, with Maracuja coming out of the win in the Kentucky, or in the coaching club American Oaks, and heading into the Alabama this afternoon. So we talked about that and much more. So the Attris duo up next.
Attris and Rob has Maracuja going in the Alabama on Saturday. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Happy to have you on board. And I always like to start out, and I'll ask both of you, how did you get into the game? What got you into the horse racing game? Brittany, I'll ask you first.
I'm lucky both my parents were involved in racing. My dad was a trainer, but when I was born, he was an assistant trainer for Lynn Whiting, and my mom's a veterinarian. So
it was a natural.
Yep.
Rob, how about you?
I got into it through my mom. She was connected to a stable where she ended up owning a part of a horse, that's how I got going to the track.
Reading a little bio information last night, it sounds like you were a little bit horse crazy, like you wanted to get into the game early on.
Yeah, no, I got bit by the bug early, so I definitely was young age when I.
I also found it interesting that you didn't get to the backside first. You were doing some frontside work to start things out.
I actually did go to the backside first, and that's how I ended up getting those other odd jobs, on the front side. I was a little too young to be, in the stalls and doing stuff like that. So I had a couple, minor positions during the races. I was like a runner for the press box, and I did a brief one summer. I was a patrol judge, and I did the silks.
What's patrol judge? What does that entail?
You just stood on the around on the backside after the race when the riders were pulling up, and if there was an objection, they'd let me know, and then I'd call the stewards and either tell them, you know, this is what it is, or, you know, nothing, all clear, or whatever. And they
talk about moving over to the backside, and before you went on your own, you were out as an assistant for Robertino Diodoro. But from what I read, you had been on your own briefly before that, before moving to the assistant for Diodoro. So talk about that transition as well.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't full time in the backside yet. I had actually owned part of a horse. I had a summer job, and I saved up all my money, and the first thing I did was buy a horse.
I like that.
He still owns the horse.
Oh, nice.
It's retired.
So, and then I ended up, when I was old enough, I ended up, you know, grooming, and then I just kind of worked my way up from there.
And how did you wind up with Robertino?
I met him down in Phoenix. I was training on my own at Turf Paradise, and we got to know each other a little bit. And the next summer, he sent me a few horses to run for him in Winnipeg when I went back up there in the summer, and I did that, and he called me up one fall. It was September. I was getting ready to go back to Phoenix again, and he asked me what my plans were for the winter. And I looked down my shed and I had about 6 horses. And, you know, I was kind of doing the same routine. We're going to Phoenix, going back to Winnipeg. It just wasn't really progressing. It was kind of the same thing. So he asked me to run a string at Oaklawn, and I wanted to take a shot at it. So it ended up being the right move, I think.
So you had been doing Western Canada down to Turf Paradise, went over and ran a string at Oaklawn. How'd you like that?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was tough at first. You know, Oaklawn is, you know, it's a new track, and but we did very well. We only had about, you know, 10-12 horses, but it was good. I really enjoyed it.
And I got asked, the horse you owned as a teenager, do you still have a win photo up someplace? You in the winner's circle?
Yeah. We actually did very well with the horse, and we lost him, and then we ended up getting him back just before we retired him. So yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
Dariamar's
name was. Yeah.
It's a French horse.
Yeah. Brittany, I'm going to ask you, because I'm always intrigued. On the show, I've had a few people. I had Anise Montpleasure on recently, also a Darley Flying Star graduate. You're a graduate. Just talk a little bit about the program, because I always think when we're up here at Saratoga, we get new eyes, and I think we get young people who are in the game, and fill them in on what the Flying Star program is all about.
So it's a pretty awesome thoroughbred business management course. It's 2 years, takes you around the world. It's funded by Godolphin and Sheikh Mohammed. It was a great experience. I went into the Flying Start thinking for sure I wanted to be on the bloodstock side. I'd worked for Fasig Tipton before doing the course, and I'd worked for some bloodstock agents as well as being at the track. And I got to experience different facets of the industry. I found I really thrive on being hands-on with horses. So, yeah, I changed my career path a little bit.
What countries did you visit?
Dubai, England, Ireland, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, France, America. Yep.
And I'm curious about the application process, because I think 10 people a year?
12.
So talk about the application process.
So it's an extensive interview process. You have to have an undergraduate degree to be able to apply, because it is very academic, but you also have to have at least one full year working in the thoroughbred industry. Most of us had grown up in it, or if you hadn't, most of the people on my course had worked in the industry for a couple of years. So there's a whole application. You have to send a video of you riding. You have to send a video of you saying what you want to do to better the sport. And then you have in-person interviews as well. And so I think the year I applied, there were about 300 people worldwide that applied for the program, and they choose 12 of us.
Yeah, very selective, obviously. And I'm curious if you came away with any new perspectives on the game.
Definitely, especially being in Australia, I really found that they're a big racing country, and they do a great job of promoting the sport. I think we could learn a lot from them. They have a lot of micro syndicates, which I know we have my racehorse here, which we have a horse for them. That's a great way to get people interested and involved, and maybe they don't go on to own a bunch of horses by themselves, but maybe it just grows their interest and their family's interest and their friends' interest. I think it's a really nice way to be approachable for the sport, to have like an easier way to get in. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think the partnerships in general, I think, are pulling a lot of new people in, because they can get in for a reasonable amount of money, and then they may move on to be owners by themselves. But as you say, okay, it just maybe drives new interest with their family and friends as well. All right, Rob, now let's get to Coaching Club American Oaks earlier in the meet, Maracuja. When we replay this, we'll have the guys in the control room play the stretch run, Maricuja and Malathat, with a nice ding-dong battle, and you wind up with a grade one. You were with Robertino. You were on your own, then went with Robertino Diodoro, and I think it's only been since 2019 you've been back on your own.
Yeah.
So since 2019, a Saratoga grade one on the resume. Are you guys kind of pinching yourselves a little bit?
Definitely, yeah. I never really, when we first started out, wasn't really in the realm that we never thought we'd come this far, I don't think. So.
We just wanted to make it in New York, have our home business.
And clearly that has happened. Talk about going into the race. It was a four-horse field, and I've talked since the race. We talked a little bit on Friday even about a four-horse field and how funky that can be. And you think the four-horse field, it will play very strategically and logically, but the smaller the field, the crazier things can go. So talk about the race and how it played out for Maricuja.
Yeah, I mean, going into the race, there wasn't really a – you couldn't, like most races you can look at and you can say, okay, these two will be on the front, this will be mid-pack, this one, and that wasn't the case. So, I kind of just left everything up to Ricardo, and, she broke running, and, they were moving pretty good, it was a pretty good pace. And then it seemed like in the middle of the race, everything kind of changed all of a sudden. And then Ricardo took back, which I thought was probably the winning move, because they were just going, I think they might have been going a little too fast up front. And it's just a terrific ride by Ricardo.
Talk about your emotion down the stretch. Both of your emotions down the stretch.
when he dropped back, obviously it was the right move, but at the time, you're kind of a little bit concerned. You're not really sure what's going on, but, if something happened or she's not right or not, and then coming on the turn, it looked like she was going to get a good piece of it and maybe even run second. And then 16th pole, we knew we were running out of ground, but it looked like she had a shot, and she just nailed her on the wire. So it was overwhelming, really.
Brittany, how'd you feel?
I lost my voice screaming. And also afterward, I was like, maybe I dreamt this. I'm really not sure. So we're walking toward the winner's circle. And Steve Asmussen's assistant, Scott Blasey, is there. And I said, did we just win that race? And he's like, yeah, of course you won the race. And I'm like, oh, sorry. I was like, I really am, like, maybe I just imagined it. Like, I don't know. It's just unreal.
Here's a new challenge from Maricuja on the outside. Malathat and Maricuja, they will battle on to the finish in a terrific rendition here. And it looked like Maricuja got it, pulling off the upset over the odds-on favorite, Malathat. The time was 1:49.15.
It was incredible, and it was a great race with only the four horses and Malathat being the leader in the clubhouse, and Maricuja getting it done. So now follow up, has had some workouts since. How she's worked since, and what are you expecting on Saturday in the Alabama?
Yeah, she actually came out of the race really good, which is obviously a concern when they have a big race like that. And basically there's less than 30 days to the next race, so everything just kind of has to go perfect for us to make the next race, and so far everything's been good. So we're hoping for another big performance.
I gotta ask, and I don't know, whenever I ask this to trainers, it's always a question mark even for the trainers, but what is your feeling about the mile and a quarter distance?
It's obviously challenging. You don't see a lot of mile and quarter races anymore, but just watching her train in the mornings, and we've always kind of thought that the further the better for her. So we definitely thought mile and eighth was no problem for her. I think she's capable of getting the mile and a quarter.
So what's your confidence level on Saturday? You're smiling. What's the?
I hope we get a great trip. I hope it all works out. I hope she has a good race.
Very good. Your
confidence. We're all good horses in the race, so.
Yeah. I never expect to win a race. I always hope to. I know it's going to be difficult. It's just a couple new horses in there, and then obviously Malathat. So, I don't think I'm ever too confident. Just kind of hope for the best, and just so many things can happen in a race. He's starting from the break, so everything's got to kind of come together.
Yeah, as a handicapper, I know things can happen in a race, absolutely. But we wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday with Maricuja, and again, congratulations on the Grade One win early in the meet in the coaching club, American Oaks. I also wanted to touch a little bit, because you have a horse entered on Sunday down at Monmouth in a grass race, and you're entered as an MTO. Looks like there may be a little bit of weather. I'm going to pull up and have the guys in the control room pull up the replay of the Tom Fool back in March. We're going to watch number 3 Chateau win. That's your main track only. There may be a little weather down at Monmouth, and we were talking before. You say possibly Chateau will go down there.
Right.
If that is the decision, what are your expectations for Chateau?
Yeah, we've kind of been sitting on him all summer, just trying to find the right spot for him. And you know, it may not work out Sunday, but if it does, you know, it'd be I think he'll run a good race. He's been training well lately, so we're been kind of waiting to get a race for him, you know. So
yeah, the Tom Fool victory was certainly nice, and again, another great stakes win for you in New York. I like both of your opinions. As I say, you went out on your own, and essentially, when you went out on your own, you decided to base in New York. What was the decision there?
Just, you know, based on, you know, the clients that we had in to start off with, they're all, you know, wanted to be in New York. So, you know, we just kind of took over, I think 6 or 7 horses that were going to stay in New York. So that's kind of how it went down.
And how many horses do you have now?
It fluctuates quite a bit. We have, 28 up here and about 20 down at Belmont.
And so do you guys essentially kind of cycle as the meet goes along?
Yeah, we do. We have horses that run that aren't, maybe they won't run back at the meet. We send them back down to Belmont. We have a really great assistant there that's actually been with Rob for a really long time and came with us when we went out on our own. And he and I go back. Ooh, a nice little bee there. He and I go back throughout the week down there. We take turns going back down a couple times a week. Us. Not that he really needs us there because he knows what he's doing, but just put our hands on all of them. Yeah.
And give me your feelings since 2019 and you went off on your own. You have to be thrilled with the results so far.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a question whether we could make it in New York. It's such a tough circuit. So it was our goal to try and, you know, make it year round here and keep doing it. So far it's been good.
And just before we let you go, we're sitting back here. You're right behind our set. We're based on Clear Court, and that's where we broadcast every day. You're right behind us. Give us your thoughts on being in the little Clear Court location. And I'm wondering, do you work horses out on the Clear Court training track?
First of all, I enjoy it back here. It's quiet, and you know, you got a lot of space, so you know, it's good. You know, for the most part, we train on the main track, so.
Sorry, the bees are swarming around the camera. That was my grimace there. I'm like, oh no, not more bees. No, it's really nice on Clear Court. It's so quiet in here. And I think our horses are, we were on Oklahoma a couple of years ago and it was just a little too busy for them to really relax, but they get to sleep and rest here. And it's a nice surface to train around. If you have, it's a good change of scenery for them. A lot of the older horses that have been doing this for years, they really get a kick out of getting to be out and a little bit more nature. We also have those jogging rings in the middle of Clear Court, so you can kind of just do something totally different with them and make them a little happier rather than doing the same thing every day.
Yeah. That's what everybody says that I've talked to. They use Clear Court as kind of a mental thing too. It's a different situation for the horses.
Yeah, they love looking at the trees and watching the traffic, and it's not even that they're spooky, they're just really curious creatures, so they like to see different things.
Yeah, very good. Rob and Brittany Attris, certainly congratulations on the Grade 1 win earlier in the meeting, Coaching Club American Oaks. Good luck on Saturday
in
the Alabama. And we appreciate your taking the time. And as a show of appreciation from Capital OTB, here's a gift card to Pinnell's. Go over and enjoy a dinner on us. And again, good luck on Saturday.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Pinnell's Restaurant. A 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as serious horse players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
Welcome back. As touted at the top of the show, we will now play the Dallas Stewart interview that was on yesterday's show. And apologies if you watched via the streaming, because streaming, I think everybody could watch. So if you're watching on Roku or on the computer, you probably saw it. But a lot of our viewers watch, obviously, on the broadcast side of things. And yesterday we had some technical difficulties that kind of came into the first part of the show yesterday. So I think a lot of people might have missed Dallas. And with a runner in today's Alabama, I wanted to make sure we got the Dallas Stewart interview in. So again, this was taped right here on the set yesterday with Dallas Stewart. He has Will Secord in the Alabama. Up next, Dallas Stewart.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you. My cohort in here during the handicappers report, as I listed the guests, he brought up your name, and I will ask you to fill in the story, if there is a story. But I know back in the day, you were an assistant to Wayne Lucas, and Anthony, my co-host from the previous show, mentioned you were the exercise writer for Winning Colors?
Correct.
Nice, and I guess she was a handful?
Very much so. She was tough.
But could you, in the morning, see the talent that she would exhibit in the afternoons as well?
Yeah, I didn't start getting on her till after the Santa Anita Derby, right before the Kentucky Derby, but she was a handful, but we got the job done.
Yeah, very much so. She was certainly a very special female on the scene. And as I say, in the early days, you were with Wayne Lucas, who had that pipeline of guys who have gone on to have successful careers.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And it's, you know, kind of still going. Brad Cott's worked for me. George Weaver's rolling. You know, he worked for Todd.
Yeah.
Mike Maker, you know, I hired him. He worked for Wayne. Just on and on.
Yeah, it's the Wayne Lucas pipeline
continues, like you said,
as through the folks as well. I wanted to bring up because I think you have to feel really good. You know, the rest of the year we're in the studio down in Albany, and I'm handicapping in the afternoon. One of the tracks we look at is Fairgrounds, obviously during the winter season. And I pulled up last night because I had to bring it up. Man, you had a nice Fairgrounds meet. I pulled up the stats here. You were 22%. You had to feel pretty good about the winter season at the Fairgrounds.
Yeah, the track was great. We were able to train them like we wanted to. You know, we had a lot of starts. We only had 25 horses, so yeah. It was a good meet.
Yeah, no, as I say, 22%. You had to feel very good about that. And that's your wintertime base, right?
Yes, sir. There and Oaklawn. We had a good meet at Oaklawn also.
And where do you – give me your – you know, the circuit you make during the year?
Well, we start, you know, you could say we start there in the winter, Oaklawn, then we come back up to Kentucky. We do Keeneland, Churchill, a little bit of Indiana. Then that kind of shuts down. We come up here. Now we're at Colonial. Things are going very well there.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of, you know, just depends on how many horses we have.
Sure. And you got a couple coming up in stakes at Colonial on Monday. We'll hit on that in a few minutes, too. Before we do anything, though, I want to go back to yesterday. Nice little maiden breaker. And I saw you right after the race and talked about we'll watch the stretch run here yesterday. Second race, it was Big Scully, the number 7, over number 5, Inevitable Connection. And, boy, it was a duel. Talk about your thoughts as they were coming down the lane. Were you confident he would go by, or were you kind of pins and needles as they came down the stretch? He's on the outside here, and it looks like the inside horse is going to hold him off, but as they get to the wire, you make a nice little surge.
very much so. Like Pat Days would always say, they pay off at the wire. And luckily, we got there first.
Second time starter, had run third in the debut earlier in the meet. What are your hopes for this horse? Because, again, that was a nice – you have to feel good. That, I think, shows a mental toughness, that nice gutsy win like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. He came out of it good. And we'll just see where we go from here.
Yeah, it was, as I say, second career start, and you got to like when they come down the stretch, and they have that will to win.
Hey.
Yeah. Also wanted to talk, obviously, about tomorrow in the Alabama. You have Will's Secret. And I pulled up a couple of replays here. I wanted to go back to the nice win. You mentioned the season you had down at Oaklawn. We're going to pull up the Honeybee here. Will's Secret is going to be the number two horse over Pauline's Pearl. Again, Will's Secret in tomorrow's Alabama. This was a few starts back, but it was a nice win early in the season. Talk about this win in the Honeybee for Will's Secret.
Yeah, I mean, she was trained at the fairgrounds. The weather was kind of shaky at Oaklawn, but we got her up there. And, you know, she kind of got her groove on in this race and showed that she was a nice filly, was going to be able to compete during the spring. And she was third in the Kentucky Oaks. It was a great race.
Yeah, so. And I pulled that up because it – everybody talked about the ding-dong battle between Malathat and Search Results, and we'll watch the stretch run in the Kentucky Oaks next. But you, Will Secret, were a good third in there, nice gutsy third over Clairiere. That had to give you some confidence on her three-year-old season as well. Talk about the third-place finish here. And again, Will Secret's going to be the number 11 with a nice little nose edge for the third place.
You know, she's not a real big filly, but she's got a lot of heart. She showed a lot of heart and tenacity right there to hold on for third against the best. So she's trained very well since she's been here. So
last time out in the Indiana Oaks, ran sixth. What was your takeaway from that race?
Well, that was a situation, I think, where it rained in between the seventh and ninth, and they didn't have the track sealed, and the water ran down in there to the one hole. I had the one hole. I didn't run good. Folsom had the one hole in the Indiana Derby, and they were both exhausted. My horse was. I talked to Brad. He said his horse was exhausted after the race. And, you know, she came out of it good. We got her up here. We've given her some good work. She worked a minute here on the main track. She looks phenomenal. And like I said, she's not a real big horse. So, you know, she's going to have her work cut out for her, but it's Alabama.
Yeah. What do you think about the mile and a quarter? Obviously, that's a question mark that they have to answer. But what are your feelings for Will Secret with the distance?
I mean, she finished good in the Oaks. You know, she's about Will Take Charge, who was a long distance horse, and so we'll see. Yeah. It's time to run.
You know, looking at the workouts you mentioned, since he's been up here, she's been working well. That August 14th minute two over here looked pretty good. So she has taken to the track since coming up here to Saratoga.
Yeah, she's ready. Right. She's ready.
So what is your confidence level coming into the Alabama?
Well, I mean, I'm confident that she's going to run good and that she looks good, she feels good. You know, it's a different, how we're going to match up. But that's why they run them over here, Saratoga.
Yeah, it's Saratoga, and you got a horse that clearly is a player in the three-year-old division. As we watch that Honeybee in the third and the Kentucky Oaks, they put up the grade one at the Alabama. You got to take a shot,
gotta
right?
Go.
Yeah.
Got to go.
Talk a little bit about also everybody I've gotten in here this year. I've asked, just reflect on what it's been like, because, you know, you're playing in a sport and the fans are a big part of sports and the feedback you get, how different it's been now that we've gotten up to Saratoga and fans are back in the stands.
You know, it's just great to have everybody back and how much everybody just loves horse racing across the world.
Yeah.
You know, everybody across the world is watching our races here at Saratoga, Belmont, Churchill. You know, we're putting a good product out there. We got all the great jockeys and, you know, also California, you know, we're just you know, I think the show's coming together real good. Everybody's really enjoying it. The handles are up, and the people are enthused about being, you know, a part of the game, and we're glad to have them.
Yeah. I've said right along, I think horse racing, as compared to other sports, really the silver lining was, I don't just think we did well. I think we maybe pulled some new
it's
fans
unreal.
In.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Also wanted to touch on, because I mentioned you have some horses coming up on Monday at Colonial in stakes races. So we'll get some opinions there as well. In the Seeking the Pearl, you have Tipsy Gal. Frank's Rocket goes down to try this for Bill Mott. But Tipsy Gal, I'm going to go back to the fairgrounds, speaking of the nice meet you had back on March 18th. This is an allowance event. Tipsy Gal is going to be the number four horse in here. Nice winner on that day. Subsequently, she's had a couple other starts at Churchill, but now moves over to Colonial and tries the Seeking the Pearl on Monday. What are your thoughts for Tipsy Gal coming up at Colonial?
Well, you can look at her workout. She's been working phenomenal there. She's doing good. We tried to get her an allowance race, and we just couldn't get it to go. We didn't want to go the whole meet without racing. So we're in here hoping we can hit the board, hopefully win it. I mean, it's, you know, Frank's Rocket's a beautiful, great horse. So if we get some black type, that'll be a plus.
Yeah, were you a little shocked when you saw Frank's Rocket when the entries came up?
I heard she was gone, but, you know, listen, it's not a game for scared people.
Yeah, that is the truth. You have another one coming up on Monday down at Colonial in the Chesapeake, Long Range Toddy. I'm going to go back and look at the Aristides at Churchill back on May 29th. Long Range Toddy's going to run a good second in here. Bango, the three wins. Long Range Toddy runs second, the number six horse in this replay. Long Range Toddy subsequently had another start at Churchill after this. Now comes in, and you talk about workouts with Tipsy Gal. Long Range Toddy is ripping off big workouts down at Colonial. What are your thoughts on Long Range Toddy on Monday?
He's really been taken to the track real well. Worked in 58, we're excited about running him. We know he's a quality horse. He showed up good here. The race after this race, he just got in a speed duel. It didn't work out good. So our tactics need to be, you know, right on for this horse to win.
John Court back on board. He's been the regular rider.
Correct.
So, and talk a little bit about Colonial. That's a track I've never been to. What's the situation down there, fan-wise, and just how do you like the track?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jill Byrne did a great job on recruiting. Got some guys from Churchill because Churchill's closed. We had horses ready to run. They have good purses. The track's, you know, a nice track. They have turf and dirt. Yeah. So we went on with it. Horses that I didn't think might could fit here on their first race. You know, they had some nice stake races.
Sure.
So we moved there. It's went well. And, you know, of course, we'll be excited to get back to Churchill.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been good, and we're excited to be here at Saratoga.
How did that work out for you? Would you have still had horses at Churchill had they not had the situation this season?
I don't know. Well, probably so, because I have some at Turfway
okay. That
are just training, getting ready for September. Probably those horses. They're nice. Got some nice horses there. So they would have stayed at Churchill, but the way the situation came up, they're at Turfway, Colonial, and here.
Yeah.
Kind of spread out a little bit, but it's working out all
right. Yeah. As you say, had some nice runners down at Colonial, and certainly the nice winner yesterday up here, Big Scully. But Dallas, before we let you go, you know, we talked a little bit about exercise rider on Winning Colors, but as a trainer, certainly a trainer of some nice runners as well. Forever Unbridled, I am going to pull up the replay of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Distaff. Forever Unbridled, the number six horse here, winds up the winner for trainer Dallas Stewart. And I'm just curious, as you look at this race, I will ask, I don't know whether it's fair to ask trainers, but do you have a favorite horse? Would this one rank in that category? And if not a favorite horse, do you have a favorite race, a favorite win in the career?
Well, her mom was pretty good. Her mom was Lemons Forever, so that's pretty much up there on the favorite list. But I seem to have a lot of favorites. I can't, you know. So she ran great, Forever Unbridled. And her sister, Unbridled Forever, won the ballerina here. So the mom was just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, Unbridled Elaine, right?
No, that was Unbridled Forever, and this is Forever Unbridled.
Yeah,
the mom's
the
Lemons Forever.
Right.
Unbridled
Elaine
did win the Breeders' Cup Distaff with Pat Day. She was an Unbridled song.
Right. But again, that was Forever Unbridled with the nice win in the Breeders'
Correct.
Cup Distaff in 2017. Nice win on the resume there. Maybe another big grade one win on the resume in the Alabama tomorrow. You have Will's Secret. And again, she had shown some nice talent in the three-year-old division earlier in the year, the win in the Honey Bee, the third in the Kentucky Oaks. We wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow in the Alabama.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For having me.
Dallas Stewart, again, Will's Secret in the Alabama.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, Saturday, Alabama morning, live from Saratoga. We appreciate your tuning in. As I wrap things up on the show, first let me thank Dallas Stewart. Again, apologies if you saw that, if that was a replay to you. It aired on the stream yesterday if you were watching on Roku or YouTube or on the computer. But our broadcast side, there was a little bit of a glitch, and so I wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to see Dallas because he has the horse in the Alabama this afternoon. Also, thanks to Rob and Brittany Attris for their time sitting in front of the barn right behind us yesterday, talking a little bit about Maracuja. And, of course, our friend Tom Durkin, top of the show, sitting in live. Always fun to talk to Tom, so we appreciate his time as well. Just going to once more shamelessly push voting for me in the America's Best Racing Favorite TV Personality poll. You see the web address there, and if you can't type it out, I have it. If you go to my Equidaily website, equidaily.com, right at the top of the page, there is a link to the ballot. Love to have you vote for me. Voting closes today, so again, last chance, and appreciate everybody who voted, and thank in advance everybody who will vote. Let's see if we can move Capital OTB in against these national juggernauts. Sitting currently, I believe, number seven or maybe eight out of 46. And again, they're all national players, so it's been fun over the past week to kind of watch the voting and see where we stand in that that contest, that battle of popularity, I guess is what it initially shakes out as being, but we appreciate your voting, as they say. And again, if you go to Equidaily, you can get the link right there very easily and cast a vote, and we appreciate that. Let me hit you with the promos coming up, because today, Syndicate Special today. Good luck to everybody on the Syndicate team is selected. But again, next week's team, Travers Day Syndicate, will open tomorrow. So visit the website, first come, first serve, if you'd like to get in for the Travers Syndicate website. Tomorrow, Sunday, things open up for next week's Syndicate, CapitalOTB.com. And again, good luck to everybody in the Syndicate today. Today, there's also going to be a Pick 3 bankroll. I think you probably still have some time to toss your name in the hat, potentially get on the Pick 3 team. Love to have you jump on board, and I'll be playing this afternoon, hopefully making some money for some of the OTB customers. Go to the website for more information. Today, if you want to enjoy racing from the Clubhouse Racebook, you can also Play the board contest. That happens today, this afternoon, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Tomorrow, there's a show pool bankroll. We'll be playing show bets, a series of five show bets tomorrow on behalf of a bankroll team. Go to the website to try to get on that team. And tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook, a pick four and a match bet promotion. Clubhouse Racebook on Sunday, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also want to remind folks, if you're coming up to the track tomorrow, don't forget the Low Rollers contest. I always like to talk about that because I think it kind of refines your handicapping. It's fun. We have the tourney bets contest on the website that you can play all the time, and the Low Rollers may be a good entrance to that because you can jump in for $40. $10 goes into the prize pool up here in the Low Rollers. With the remaining $30, you make five $2 win place and show bets during the afternoon. It's a lot of fun, and as I say, it may turn you on to contests, and then you can jump on the tourney bets that we have via CapitalOTB.com throughout the year. So, again, low roller up here at the track if you visit on Thursdays or Sundays. Go to the Four Star Dave bar area, and that's where you sign up. All right, I think that takes care of all of the paperwork and record keeping and takes you through this morning's show. So I will wrap it up. Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Tomorrow, Sunday, we'll be back with Loose on the Lead. We will get my partner Steve Bick via Zoom from Del Mar. We'll talk a little Pacific Classic with him. He's out there doing the radio show, or has been the past few days, and he obviously will be there at Del Mar this afternoon. Don't forget, Del Mar, with $1.8 million in their Pick 6 pool, it's a mandatory pay at Del Mar. You just saw the graphic a little bit earlier. We will be covering those Del Mar races throughout the evening tonight with the Pacific Classic at about 9:30 our time. Should be a lot of fun, so tune right in here to the network for that. As far as tomorrow in the morning programming, back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. for Loose on the Lead. We will see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.